Hi, this is Joey from Two Blokes from Blighty, and before we get into the episode, we're going to hear from our friend Martin at the Stop, Drop and Roll Initiative podcast. Take it away, Martin.
Hi there, and welcome to Stop, Drop and Roll Initiative, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast with me, Martin McAllister, as the Dungeon Master. I'm going to be joined by some of my good friends. You know him, he's a podcaster and streamer. He is Satsunami, robotic battle toaster, a Twitch streamer, and ordinary human and Canadian. Andrew, let's see what our party have in store for us today.
Can I roll to wave harder?
Can you roll a... What would you rather do, strength or dexterity?
Strength.
Okay, roll strength check, please. This is when you get your natural 20. It's the hardest damn wave you've ever seen. You make a perception check, please.
9.
You are unable to tell.
I'm rolling like garbage now.
So this is where all of Andrew's rolls have gone, is you've not split them up.
Every time I've patted you on the back to give you a blessing, I've been taking some of your roll.
Pat has concealed a dagger.
I have a feeling this is going to be a fun adventure.
So I think I like 3am humour, and I think I'm going to let it just dribble in here because I don't want them listening to what I say on this podcast. Ooh. I prefer 7-inch screws.
Yeah, I prefer 6-inch bolts.
1-inch washers.
That's what they call me. So I got out and watched more Godzilla.
Oh no, it's a lizard and he's killing our cities.
That's the one. I'm really glad you know it. Meanwhile, back at the Dreamers Hotel, 5 stars and all rooms are vacant. This is Tim from Two Blokes from Blighty, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother, my co-host, Joey Fitz. Joey, how you doing?
In my head, you were going to say lover then, and I was
this close. But I thought that might be weird.
Yeah, it might be. Tim, you know I normally come up with an adjective for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that today.
No?
No, I've got something else for you.
What's that?
I told you yesterday that I'd made you a present.
Oh, God, yeah, what is it?
You ready?
I don't know that I am.
Sit back, enjoy, just, you know, take it all in.
Doesn't seem to matter what I do, I'm always number 2. No one knows how hard I tried. I have feelings that I can't explain, driving me insane. All my life been so polite, but I'll sleep alone tonight. 'Cause I'm just
Tim.
Anywhere else I'd be a tame. Is it my destiny to live?
I hate it.
I'm just
him.
Where I see love, she sees a friend. What will it take for her to see the man behind the tent and fight for me?
So there you go. He's just Tim.
I'm just Tim. Anywhere else, I'd be in the bin.
I don't know what came over me last night. I edited 2 podcasts and I was quite tired anyway. And I was listening to I'm Just Ken while I was doing the upload. And I thought, how funny would it be if I took your name from one of the earlier episodes of this season, stretched it out so it fit Ken. And then I got that and I was like, I'm just going to do it and I'm going to play it in the podcast.
That's called 3am brain.
I've been having a lot of that recently, but what I've realized is, like, when I was making that, I was crying laughing.
That's 3am humor.
So I think I like 3am humor, and I think I'm going to let it just dribble in here.
3am humor is very funny. It's just, it's peak turn your brain off humor.
Yeah, I really thought the best thing about it is the really long lead up to it, because you don't get that I'm just Tim for about 40 seconds in
there. Yeah.
So copyright was fucked, but...
But damn my talented for singing it.
Very, very fucking talented. Tim, You know what time it is. It's that pub quiz question of the week.
Pub quiz question of the week. Not a jingle. That's a sound effect at best.
What we have there is a fucking jingle, Tim. What we've got there is a jingle. Do we have a pub quiz question?
We absolutely do. Pub quiz question of the week. In 2023, what was the most popular dog breed in terms of purchases?
Poor 2023.
Yeah.
Some shitty little rat dog, weren't it?
You reckon?
I reckon. Can you give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Absolutely. Are you going to name a breed?
Yeah, shitty little rat breed.
That's not a breed. I don't think anyone would buy a dog called shitty little rat breed.
It'll be some kind of like pug or Pomeranian or some shit like that.
That's a thumbs down for now.
Big old thumbs down. The only other one I would say is Labrador, just because they're quite common.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that, but I do love a Labrador.
Oh, yeah, everyone loves a Labrador. They're really fun and dopey and silly.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll find out at the end what the most common breed of 2023 is.
Do you want to do days of the week?
Well, I do, but I need to know. This episode goes out on April the 3rd, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, so April the 3rd.
Let me look at my calendar and
see
when that is.
Can you just check what day of the week that is?
Sorry, my calendar's taking a minute to load, but some back-of-the-napkin maths would probably suggest that's a Wednesday.
Ah, okay. In that case... Oh, no. Oh, no, I've lost the file.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Do we have another one?
No, I'll put something in post.
All right, that'll be a fun surprise for later, I suppose.
Edit.
Wednesday.
Oh, Tim, wasn't that Days of the Week jingle bloody hilarious?
I think it was an improvement on the last one.
I think it was also 19 minutes long.
Yeah, that sounds right. But it really peaked around the 18-minute mark.
And we got some good Days of the Week for you this week, Tim.
Oh, yeah?
But before we get into this week's, I was in our office today. And do you remember what the day of the week for the day we're recording, which is the 27th of March?
Oh, I don't. Was it National Joe Day?
Me Day. National Joe Day. I was sat opposite a Joe.
Oh, yeah?
Another Joe was in the office. There was someone who had a child called Joel. So we extended it to them because it's Joe with an L.
Yeah. It's Christmassy Joe. It's Joel.
I mean, I've never had so much interaction with Joes.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people bought me a coffee?
How many?
None.
Pricks.
Thank God. I did buy another one of them a coffee.
Ah, a cup of Joe. Did you tell them about Joe Day?
I did, yeah. It became a really big talking point.
Oh.
I didn't share where I found out it was Joe Day because I don't want them listening to what I say on this podcast.
I know there's a couple of people at my work who listen to this.
There's one or two at mine as well, but not these ones, because these ones don't think I'm fucking mental.
These ones control my salary.
Well, not quite that important, but yeah.
No.
Tim, so we've got number one is National Walking Day.
Okay, yeah.
Just go for a walk.
Go on a walk.
Number two is National Tweed Day.
As in like tweed patches?
Like a suit.
Ah, okay.
Or a tie, or whatever.
My brain went to elbow patches.
Could be elbow patches. You get tweed elbow patches.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. Are you ready? Number three, National Chocolate Mousse Day.
I do like chocolate mousse.
Chocolate moussey.
That's what they call me.
And then a weird one for number four, Child Helps National Day of Hope.
That seems overly involved.
Overly sponsored. Number five is National Find a Rainbow Day.
Just go out and like find a rainbow somewhere?
Seems like it, yeah.
That seems fun. I like a scavenger hunt, so that could
and
be good.
I think this is going to be the one that wins. Number six is National Film Score Day.
As in like scores for movies?
As in a film score.
I'm going to go with Rainbow Day, I think, this week.
You suck.
Why?
What's your favourite film score?
Joe, it's a bit of a classic, but I really like the Godzilla soundtrack, like from the original Toho ones.
Oh no, it's a lizard.
That's the one. I'm really glad you know it.
Our cities. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty accurate.
Good. Well, yeah, I recorded it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. My friends and I, when we were in college, we used to have like nights over at my other friend's house where we'd put Godzilla films on silent and blast dubstep and see if any of it lined up.
I think you and your friends need to get out more.
I haven't spoken to them in a very long time.
So they're still in?
I imagine so. I got out and watched more Godzilla.
There's so much Godzilla out there. My favourite's The Social Network.
Social Network got a phenomenal score.
Maybe big old... I like to use Hands Over Bruise in my message to Slade from Santa.
Well, big old Trent Reznor's of the world. He's out there putting out good work.
He is. Well done, Trent. I don't like your actual band, but your music on The Social Network was good.
I think Nine Inch Nails are okay. They're not my usual thing, but they're fine.
I prefer 7-inch screws.
Yeah. Yeah. I prefer 6-inch bolts.
Yeah.
Any others?
1-inch washers.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's what they call me.
The 1-inch washer.
Yeah.
Because it's really short, really wide, and it stops anything moving around in the hole.
Absolutely. It's broad, but not long. No, but in terms of Rainbow Day, I want photos of the first rainbow that people see in the Discord, please. Thank you.
I'd like you to go out and recreate that video, you know, where the guy's like, oh double my rainbow. God, it's starting to look like a triple rainbow. So that's what I want.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, that's yeah. So I want photos of rainbows. Any rainbow you see, put it in the Discord.
Good, good. Yeah. Tim, what would you like to talk about now? Do you want to do one of our regular sections, or you put a couple of things in the air?
If I'm honest, I felt like I was coming up short this week. I've really not been thinking about much. My brain's been off for 7 days. So I've only got about three things in the running order outside of our regular section. And one of the things in my notes is a regular section.
So we've got two things to talk about. It's going to be a very short week this week.
I think it might be. Shall we briefly talk about the news article that I've linked, which is, I don't think it's damn that's crazy worthy.
Well, we don't have anything else, so...
Oh, damn, that's crazy.
Woman mistakes bobble for baby hedgehog and rushes it to Cheshire Animal Hospital.
Fucking hell, that's...
Staffordshire...
Can you imagine their faces when this woman puts a bobble on the desk and goes, oh my God, it needs help, and they're like, madam, this is a bobble.
Staff at the Cheshire Wildlife Hospital were surprised to find that a baby hedgehog brought to them for treatment was in fact a furry hat bobble after a bizarre case of mistaken identity. Staff at Lower Moss Wood Nature Reserve and Wildlife Hospital near Knutsford said their hearts melted when they realised that a kind soul had bought them a bobble, mistaking it for a stricken hedgehog. The Good Samaritan placed it in a box with food and a hot water bottle overnight, bringing it to Lower Mosswood first thing in the morning. Hospital manager Janet Kotze first described the first admission of the day as, in fact, a pom-pom.
Do you think that the person who brought it knew it was pom-pom in the end?
I think afterwards they probably did, but I think this news is kind of wholesome. Like, this person didn't understand that it wasn't an animal. It was just a hat decoration. But they kept it warm and gave it food and presumably water and safe overnight, only to try and bring it to safety in the morning.
Wow. It's
a little bit wholesome, a little bit naive.
That's good. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
That's a fun story.
Yeah. Tim, where do you find the articles for this?
Just around. I've got a friend of mine who reads a lot of weird news. I go on Reddit a lot. I go on Twitter a lot.
Fair enough. Have you ever followed the account Angry People in local newspapers?
I have.
You could just get this whole section from there. Man campaigns to get eyesore telegraph pole removed from his garden. It's always an angry-looking old white person like this.
Oh, that's some peak r/compo face material.
I don't know what compo face means.
If you look up r/compo face, it's always British newspapers, and it's like, I bought my dream house, but it's 2 feet from an A road, and the noise is unbearable. And it's like, what? And like, it's just always the same photo of them pulling the same miserable face and pointing at whatever the problem is. Like, they had one the other day where it was someone with a 100-foot sewer blockage, outside the house. And it was like relief as the sewer blockage of 100 feet is broken up and sent away. And it's just three pissed off looking like pricks. They look like a bulldog chewing a wasp or a face like a slapped ass pointing at a sewer drain that is clearly very smelly.
This one is, man was angry people were forced to walk in the road on a 50-mile-an-hour stretch of road, and he's just looking really angry and giving it a fist.
Well, that's a prime compo face, but also, I get that you're angry about people having to walk in the road. Do you own the fucking road?
No, you don't.
Then shove off. Go do something else.
I like the ones like where it's just old people moaning that things are too expensive, but they've clearly bought them for the photo that they're in.
There's a lot of that on Compo Face. There was one that was like couple outraged that Morrison's petrol station won't serve steak and ale pies before 9 a.m.
What's your favourite headline ever?
I mean, it's got to be something from The Onion, right?
No, it needs to be a serious headline.
God, I don't know. I mean, there's been some fucking amazing ones.
I like the one where Bin Laden was killed and the son ran with bin bagged.
That's amazing. Someone absolutely had half a day on that and was like, all right, I'm done for the day.
There's one I really need to find. It's something about I won the lottery, but 10 years later, I'm blowing a dog for quavers or something like that.
What? there's the one where the guy had sex with like a McDonald's apple pie and burnt his penis and sent a story to the Sun.
Here it is. 10 years ago, the lotto made me a millionaire. Now I suck off dogs for quavers.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's funny.
I'm looking at the r/compoface subreddit to try and find some stuff. Let's have a look here. This is
bottom of the barrel stuff, Tim.
It really is. You can tell that we're running out of material here for this week.
For this series, we're done.
I've just been tired and busy and not focusing on anything. There is one thing I wanted to talk about that I saw on my way to work this morning, and okay, I only took real notice of it this morning, but I'm assuming it's been there for a while, there is a billboard outside of Templemead train station, and it's not the Wembembo billboard. That's in progress.
Is it next to that?
It's not quite there. It's going to be, but we're not quite there yet.
And it's just a picture of you, and it says at Wembembo and everything.
It's just my Twitter avatar, the green drooling man.
Yeah, and it says, I'm at Wembembo and everything, and I will have sex with your wife if I want to.
Or a McDonald's apple pie.
Yeah.
But it's this billboard that's just outside Temple Meads currently, so I guess this will date the episode a bit, is for a competition that's on at the minute for the Bristol Landlord Awards 2024, and it just seems in such poor taste to do that. Like, it feels very, very circle jerky for them to hold this.
Yeah, I mean, that's what awards are, Tim.
I don't know if awards in themselves are circle jerky, but like, these are the people who I know they will argue, oh, we provide housing. You don't. You take away housing and charge a premium to let people in. Secondly, we're in a cost of living crisis at the minute in the UK. So rent prices, especially in Bristol, are skyrocketing. And then you have the fucking gall to try and host an award show over it.
I completely appreciate what you're saying. However, not everyone can afford their own house, Tim.
I can't afford my. I'm renting a house.
There is a need for landlords, and completely take on board your cost of living crisis points. They might be celebrating people that have frozen their rental prices during the cost of living, so that poorer families can afford to live where they live. I think I completely understand what you're saying, but it might not be as wanky as you think it might be.
I think the cynic in me is more looking at this.
The kynic, thank you. I didn't understand the true pronunciation of that.
Sorry, I mispronounced it first.
What I think they could have done, though, because at the moment it just is the Letting Game and it's a cartoon of two hands on a trophy.
Well, the Letting Game is a letting agency that's down here in the Southwest.
But they could have, I don't know, given some examples or demonstrated it better, because it's a common thing for people to hate landlords, and sticking that outside the train station is probably, like you said, in poor taste.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible billboard because there's no information on it.
Well, to be fair, some of it is hidden behind the railing because I was getting this as I walked by. But Bristol currently has a rising homelessness issue. Yeah. And Temple Mead is very central to Bristol. So for them to have a Landlord's Award building in a place with a rising homelessness problem, it just doesn't gel with me.
Maybe you should be a landlord.
No, I'm good.
Ding dong.
Landlord here. I need your carpets to soundproof my garage. I'm building a studio.
I need this fridge. My dog needs his food at a certain temperature. You'll be fine without it.
Ding dong, landlord here. You're keeping my Christmas tree in your garage, and if you say anything, I'll put up your fucking rent immediately. No, you can't throw it out. I need it next year.
Saying that, did you ever get access to your garage?
Not yet. So there could be a Christmas tree in there.
So I think there is a Christmas tree in there.
Yeah.
For the listeners, Tim's house has a garage, but he's not allowed in it.
I'm not allowed in. Despite it being where my electric and gas meter are, I'm not allowed in.
Did you never get your gas meter and electric meter when you first moved in?
So we got the reads from the agency, and I've since been in there once.
How do you know that they weren't lying?
Because we've checked it against the meter and there's photographs.
What if the photographs are from 10 years ago and you get charged 10 years worth of electricity?
I don't think that's quite right.
And your landlord goes, ding dong.
Ding dong, landlord here. I've been siphoning your electric to charge my Tesla.
That's the only option. That's the only reason I can think that the garage would be locked.
Well, the fucking display on the gas meter doesn't work, so that needs to be replaced. So we need to get access at some point.
Free gas is what I'm hearing.
Currently, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
When we lived in a place in Leeds, we had a gas meter and an electric meter out the front. But when we tried to tell the gas people what we're moving, they were like, no one owns your gas. It's like, what do you mean no one owns our gas? And they were like, well, you're not paying for your gas at the minute because no one's claiming it. And I was like, well, we're going to rent this on. We need someone to sublet this from us. So I'm going to put it in the advert, free gas. And I did, and it worked.
All right, result.
Happy days.
When I used to work in the energy industry, I had a folder saved on my, a Google Drive system for our documents, and I just made a folder called Funny Meters because we'd get photos from engineers' reports of like meters that couldn't be complete, like exchanged or whatever. And my favorite one was always just a house that was in the throes of being demolished and this electric meter hanging off a wooden post in a field.
Oh, that's sad.
I know.
Really sad.
There was also one where they'd like, I guess they like didn't like the look of the meter, but didn't like it so much they'd like bricked around it. Like, and built like an enclosure for it. So they've got like a little hole in the brickwork so you can read the meter, like a little, you know, peephole for it. But my immediate thought is the second that needs to be changed.
Yeah, what if there's a problem with it?
You're fucked. You're absolutely fucked.
Well, at that point, you call the landlord, don't you?
Ding dong, landlord here.
I need to demolish your house as you're blocking my gas meter. Tim.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, let's talk about Jeff Goldblum.
My name is people always ask me how I pronounce my name, Goldblum or Goldblum. I always tell them the same thing. How dare you speak to me?
I just love how dare you speak to me.
How dare you speak to me?
I just really enjoy it.
Who is he going to be charming this week?
Sorry, Tim's just sent me a picture of two very old, angry-looking white people. Major gas outage leaves a rapby couple cooking by a single hob.
It's not really a problem, is it?
I mean, it is if it's been going on for a long time. It's a problem for them.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
it might
newsworthy problem.
No, it's absolutely not.
It's definitely not worth being on the BBC.
No,
which that is.
I'm going to say Jeff Goldblum's charming those two, that couple. Try and cheer them up.
Okay, fair enough. I think Jeff Goldblum is hosting the Landlord Awards currently and charming them into lowering prices.
We could dream, Jeff Goldblum. I appreciate your valiant effort.
I don't think he's trying very hard.
No, probably not. So I asked us, as a part of Movie Club, if you can get the theme.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we need the Movie Club jingle. You ready?
I'm so ready.
Oh, my God. Why is my soundboard not working? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, no. It's gone, Tim. It's disappeared. Genuinely, hold on. I'll do it live while we're here. I'll just download it and pop it in.
All right. I'll take you editing this out.
No, keeping it in.
Ah, okay. Audience, would you nominate your landlord for the Landlord Award? I've never met mine, so I don't know. Maybe.
You've never met it?
No, I've never met my landlord.
Is that not weird to you?
No, because we go through a letting agent. It's all handled by them. I don't know where the landlord is. They could be halfway up the country.
Ding dong, landlord here. They're at your front door, Tim.
Ding dong, landlord.
Oh, no.
Only a few people in our audience are going to understand this reference.
Yeah, everyone's going to be like, why do you keep saying that? It doesn't actually make any sense.
Ding dong, landlord here. I'm going to need to keep my cactuses in your shoes.
Do you want to explain where we've actually stolen that whole bit from?
Oh, it's from a podcast called Atletico Mints. They just have this bit that just pops up every now and again. Atletico Mints, by the way, if you're a big fan of Bob Mortimer's humor, it's that, I think, on a weekly basis.
I don't know if it's weekly anymore, and it's a football podcast, but it has nothing to do with football.
It's very tangentially related to football, but they just have a bit where they just have this landlord come in making outrageous demands of his tenants.
Anyway, Tim, movies. Movies.
There it is. We watched Poor Things this week. I have some thoughts. For those who don't know, Poor Things came out in 2023. It won a few Oscars for things like Best Costume Design, and I think it got Best Set Design as well. It's a film with Willem Dafoe and Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo. And it's what I didn't realize when picking this movie, because Joey texted me a couple of days later, was this is directed by the same dude who did The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
That went over well, didn't it?
It did go over well. I have not been that uncomfortable watching a movie for a very, very long time.
I'd like to read you a transcript of the conversation I had with the Northern Boy whilst I was watching this.
Okay.
Tim has me watching some real shit for two blokes. It's fucking awful. He replies, "What's that?" I reply, "Poor Things." And he says, "Is that how it makes you feel?" Oh, it's... that stupid she's a clone who develops a personality shit. I said, nah, but it's just as dumb. It's artsy, wanky shit. I said, normally Tim's an okay judge of film. This does not do it. It's Emma Stone, though, who I think is great. She might be the reason I see it through. This is where we get into spoilers. Although, as I said that, her character put an apple in her fanny. Make of that what you will.
So you didn't enjoy the movie?
Do you know, so I think, you know the black and white bit, the bit where they're in London?
Yeah.
Awful. Hated every second of it. Then they got to Lisbon and we got colour and they had the nice dance scene and I thought, that's quite charming, that's quite good. I think I'm going to enjoy this. And then about 10 minutes later, my brain went, what the hell are you talking about? This is shit. So, no, I didn't enjoy it.
I really liked this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. In terms of production and performance, I thought it was out fucking standing. In terms of plot, I thought it was harrowing and uncomfortable.
I think I agree with you in terms of performance. I think the performances were very good. production, I think it was like, how can we make this weird? Oh, well, we could do this. Okay, let's do that. I think this needs to be weirder. Maybe we could do this and add this on top. Yes, okay, let's do that. I think they spent as much time trying to make it look weird as anything else on the film.
I mean, the whole purpose of it, because to give the audience a bit of a frame.
Go into full spoilers here.
Full spoilers. Emma Stone is a woman who is very severely underdeveloped, and she plays someone in this movie.
So. Don't you talk about Emma Stone.
No, I love Emma Stone. I think she's great. We love her. But I could not take that bait.
That was funny.
So Emma Stone plays a woman who is quite severely underdeveloped mentally.
Yeah.
And Willem Dafoe is essentially, I'm not going to say a carer, but like he owns the property, owns and lives in the property that she lives in. He's a landlord.
Yeah, he's a landlord, except that he sleeps in the bed with her sometimes.
Sometimes.
Ding dong, landlord.
So Willem Dafoe plays a highly disfigured surgeon in obviously like 1910s, 1920s London.
I couldn't put my finger on the era because at one point, and sorry, I'm going to derail you a bit here. They're like, oh, I want to go outside. And he goes, okay, let's go to the park. And it looks like they're in a horse-drawn carriage, except for when they get round the corner, it's actually a petrol-powered horse.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit where I was like, they could have had a horse and carriage. That would have been fine. But no, they need a petrol-powered fucking horse.
Yeah, it's retrofuturism.
No, it's stupid.
He's clearly quite disfigured, Willem Dafoe. And the reason for it being is that his father was also a surgeon and performed some pretty invasive surgery on Willem Dafoe, effectively as practice, to see where he could take medicine. And Willem Dafoe is effectively following in his footsteps by seeing how far he can take medicine, because he takes in one of his students, a guy called Harry McCandles.
I forgot his name earlier when I was talking to someone about this film, and I thought his name was something Many Spoons.
Something Many Spoons.
Yeah, I just kept calling him Many Spoons.
All right, well, we're going to call him Many Spoons from here on out.
Okay.
He takes in Many Spoons as a bit of a protege, and is like, your only task is to document Bella, played by Emma Stone, and everything that she does throughout the day. That's your only task. And he's like documenting how much food she's eating, how many words she's saying, because she's mustering about 15 words a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many steps she's taking, what activity she's doing, that sort of thing. It's like, it's a proper journal. And he's like handing this report to Willem Dafoe, who's playing a character called Godwin Baxter, but everyone in the film just refers to him as God in possibly the least subtle note of this movie.
There's not a lot of subtle notes in this movie, and that really was not.
Eventually, Harry starts asking questions like, where did she come from? And he finds this report in Godwin's notes. And Godwin catches him reading this report and eventually decides to sit down and tell him. It turns out Emma Stone, before she was what she is now, was a pregnant woman who jumped off of London Bridge. And Godwin just happened to find her essentially as she's dying. So, like, the organs are all failing, but there's still essentially enough brain activity.
She was dead, but she was just basically still warm.
Pretty much. And he realized that she was pregnant and decided it would be a good idea to put the brain of the fetus into Emma Stone and see basically what would happen. And so while she's mentally underdeveloped as an adult woman, she's essentially got the brain of a 2 or a 3 year old.
Yes.
And rather uncomfortably, Harry starts developing feelings towards her, I guess, by being with her for so long.
Can I cut you off? Because, Tim, you really, I think you're doing this film a lot of justice, rightly so. Can I give you my synopsis?
Yeah.
Woman with brain of child, everyone wants to fuck her.
Yes.
That's the whole film.
Especially Mark Ruffalo. And what I didn't expect going into this movie was very graphic and in-depth sex scenes between Mark Ruffalo and Emma Stone.
No, I didn't expect that either. Can I say that Mark Ruffalo, his performance was the biggest highlight. It was fantastic.
He was brilliant. So this film is it's a dark sci-fi retro-futurism body horror thing with some dark comedy thrown in. And Mark Ruffalo is definitely like the comic relief.
Yeah, he was brilliant. I really actually enjoyed Mark Ruffalo's character. The only bit that made me laugh, and I don't think we need to do an Old Boy and go beat for beat on this, because quite the opposite of Old Boy needing every single thing in there to be relevant, I would say about 10% of this film was actually relevant and the rest was fluffy waffle.
I don't know. I thought a lot of it was pretty relevant.
Fluffy waffle. So the bit that really made me laugh in this is when Bella befriends someone on a cruise.
Margaret.
She's there against her will. Mark Ruffalo's character, who I can't remember. If we've got many spoons, Tim, what do you want to call Mark Ruffalo's lawyer character?
Small Tash.
Small Tash kidnaps Bella, essentially. Takes her on a cruise because he's trying to be romantic and get her away from Lisbon, where she seemed to enjoy things, but she was going around shagging, and he didn't like that. So he thought, where can I get you away from all the shagging? Let's do our own shagging on a boat. So Bella befriends Margaret. Margaret is not good for Bella and Small Tash's relationship, and he threatens to kill her. And when he gets up to the deck that she's on, someone stands in her way, and he goes, I'm going to fucking murder her. And the guy goes, I have to stop you there. And then Margaret seems quite laughy and whimsical about it. And then the man goes, I was unaware of how willing she was to be murdered. Please go ahead. And then he just lets her try and throw him off the boat, which I thought was really funny. That was the only bit in the whole film that made me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there weren't any parts that really had me like, you know, like really laughing out loud, but I got a couple of smirks and a couple of like, kind of out of me a few times.
It creeped me out too much to enjoy, Tim, because I think the thing that bothered me is, okay, Emma Stone, right? Emma Stone is an attractive person. I can understand why she could be made a sex symbol in this film. However, she has the mind of a child.
That was on my mind the whole time.
Very much has this from start to finish and does it brilliantly, acted it very well. It's a bit noncy throughout.
It is a bit noncy in terms of the plot, but what I think this film is mostly about is essentially a woman who is granted with the brain of a child as being a very extreme example. But I think what it is, it's about her discovering like sex and adult things in the world, like drink and music and smoking and fucking. But anytime that she almost pushes a boundary further, the man that is immediately closest to her in her life at the time gets upset about it. For example, when she starts learning about masturbation, Many Spoons is upset, saying that's impolite in society. And she ends up running away to have sex with Mark Ruffalo in Lisbon. Small Tash. And Many Spoons is upset about it. And then any time that she's like exploring sex in Lisbon, Small Tash is upset about it. It seems to escalate. The more that she pushes out these boundaries, the more that everyone is telling her that the societal norm is everything. It like goes against everything that she is doing.
Well, I think it's not lost on me that I think it's quite a patriarchal view.
Yes.
Of it essentially is there to question things that are meant to be enjoyed, and that women can be empowered to go and do their thing and
be shamed for it on the same turn.
Exactly. And like you said, I think it's interesting that it's always the man closest to her creating that boundary and building that wall from the thing that she wants to do and push those boundaries and stop her being who Bella wants to discover herself to be. I just can't get over the fact that it's the mind of a child.
That's the thing.
And I think beyond that and weird for weird's sake, I just did not enjoy my experience watching it. I'm not disappointed that I did watch it, but I won't recommend it to others.
I've just had to look at the director's name because I can never remember his name. He's got a very Greek name of Yorgos Lanthimos, or Yorgo Lanthimos, who directed things like The Killing of a Sacred Deer, as we've said. He's also directed The Lobster, Kinds of Kindness, Dogtooth, that sort of thing.
None of which I like.
So what I think he's really good at is making his audience very uncomfortable, which is a skill in and of itself. And I think this film does have a very strong and very poignant message to it. I can understand why you wouldn't enjoy it. I think the fact that she does have the brain of a child, while obviously the rational guy in me is like, hey, this is not an attractive thing to see Emma Stone, a conventionally attractive woman, having sex a lot because it's the brain of a child. But I think them putting the brain of a child in this attractive woman to have sex shows a very extreme example of naivety when it comes to discovering sex.
I do think that it's not just sex, though. It was everything.
Well, yeah.
This wasn't a bad thing. I think it was a thing that I think they explored well, and it was how a child's mind doesn't know when to stop, because everything she did and enjoyed, she just kept going and going and going and pushing it further and further and further. And there was no thought about the repercussions of what she was doing. So, for example, there's a bit where she sees some babies dying in extreme poverty. So she goes back to Small Tash's bedroom where he's got all his money everywhere, and then she just gives the whole thing away to what she expects is for poverty, with no repercussion that actually they won't have any money to live on.
Because she gives it to these... they're on a cruise at this point. And she gives the money to these two sailors that are just out front, who are just like, yes, we will give these impoverished people this pile of money you've just put in our hands. With no real thought or regard to actually if they would.
It was a film.
I would thoroughly recommend it. I like this guy's movies. I like Yorgo's movies. I would probably put this above Killing of a Sacred Deer. I'm curious as to where you would put it.
I would put it above Killing of a Sacred Deer because I actually finished it.
That's true.
But I wouldn't watch it again or recommend it to someone else.
Sure. I mean, I would, but I like this kind of cinema that challenges the audience.
Yeah.
What would you give it out of 10?
Four.
I gave it an 8 out of 10 on my IMDb.
It was fine.
Do you want to go into something a bit more lighthearted and go to jokes?
Well, would you like to know which film?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Next time.
I'm picking something lighter next time.
I think mine's light. I mean, it's not hard to be lighter than that. I think, let me just check I've got the right film here, because I'm not seeing the actor I expected in the credits. Sorry, Joey, cut this out. This won't take long. Thank you. Why can I not find it? Is it called? We're going to watch 2011 Warrior.
2011 Warrior?
It's the film Warrior from 2011.
Oh, Warrior. Let me write this down.
Because Peek Behind the Curtain, every single week at about Saturday, Tim and I go, what film were we meant to watch again?
Well, now I've written it down, so we should be good.
It is. Yeah, Warrior from 2011. It's got Tom Hardy in. That's how you'll know it's the right one.
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil anything for you. That's what we're going
to
watch.
All right, great. Well, should we move on to jokes?
Yes, let's move on to jokes. Let's see if I can find my joke jingle quick enough.
that's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that as that's the joke of the week.
So this is the joke of the week, where Tim and I would tell each other a joke. We have to keep straight-faced. And if the other one laughs, then that joke becomes joke of the week and the section ends. Tim, how many jokes have you got?
I have got 12.
Bloody hell, you will go first because I have half of the amount that you got.
All right, fair enough. All right, audience joining at home, let us know in the Discord where you... Where you failed.
If and where you cracked. I don't really like it when people say that on a Wednesday morning. It's normally the northern boy that lets us know first.
Yeah. All right, great. Why did they bury the general on the hill?
I don't know. Why did they bury the general on the hill?
Because he was dead.
I mean, that's a good reason.
Solid, yeah.
Yeah. What do they call a bedpan in Russia?
Go on.
A Putin.
That's very good. That's very good. Ask me if I'm a tree.
Are you a tree?
No.
Have you gone for anti-jokes? Or
some of mine are anti-jokes, yeah. Okay.
Cool. Apparently 30% of pet owners let their pet sleep in their bed. I tried this, but my goldfish died.
That's a good misdirect. Mm. That's very good misdirect. Every day is D-Day if you're a stutterer.
Yeah, it's today.
Yeah.
What's green, fuzzy, has four legs, and it'll kill you if it falls out of a tree?
Go on.
Pool table.
Classic. Absolutely classic. I sat with a blind woman the other night, and it went well for the most part. Once the clothes came off, she said to me, "You have the biggest penis I've ever laid my hands on." And I said, "You're pulling my leg."
Very good. Very, very good. I have a disease where I can't stop telling jokes about airports. My doctor says it's terminal.
That's a good play on words. Good pun. Good pun. A dog finds a whale when walking through the forest, just kind of sat there between the trees. And he says to the whale, "Shouldn't you be in the ocean?" And the whale replies, "Yes."
Oh, it should be.
Yeah.
Got no business being in the forest.
No. It's a sea creature.
I had a happy childhood. My dad used to put me in tyres and roll me down hills. Those were good years.
That's very clever. I like that one a lot.
Good.
If there's one thing that always makes me throw up, it's a dartboard on the ceiling.
Yeah. That would do it. Yeah. A sweater I purchased was picking up so much static electricity that I returned it to the store. They gave me another one free of charge.
That's clever. Mm. That's really, really good.
I've only got one more. I think it is the best one. But...
All right. Together, I can beat schizophrenia.
I think we might have had that one.
Have we?
We've either had it or it appears in the list that I definitely don't search 10 minutes before these episodes start. That doesn't count.
No, of course.
Tim.
Yeah.
What was the name of your favourite teacher at school?
I don't know.
Mine was Mrs. Turtle. Funny name, but she taught us well.
That's really good. That's really, really good.
I'm so annoyed you didn't laugh at that.
Did you know that if you hold your ear up to a stranger's leg, you can hear them say, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Very good. That nearly got me.
Nearly got you? Yeah. Okay. We've also got... If you stacked all the elephants in the world, one on top of the other, they wouldn't like it.
No, they wouldn't.
They would not like it. Equally, if you lined up all the elephants in the world between the Earth and the Moon... they would die, and space would be littered with elephants.
Well done, well done.
There it is.
I'll play the jingle, and then I'll explain what made me laugh about that.
That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that as, "That's the joke of the week."
So I knew it was coming. I thought you'd get between Earth and the Moon, there'd be loads of elephants floating in space. But it was the sharpness of "they die." So Tim, can you just repeat the joke of the week, please?
Yes, let me undelete it. If you lined up all the elephants in the world from the Earth to the Moon, They would all die and space would be littered with dead elephants.
Very, very good. Well done.
That joke reads a bit like a Philomena Cunt bit.
Philomena Cunt's really funny.
Oh, I fucking like... Have you seen the Christmas special she did? Con Con Christmas?
Don't think I have.
She's talking to like this religious historian, and one of the first questions she asks him is, how did pagans learn to walk upright? And they're talking about like the winter solstice, and the guy's like, oh, well, the winter solstice is, I can't remember the exact definition. He's like, but it's to do with the point where the sun runs along the horizon at the earliest point of the year. And she goes, you're not supposed to look at the sun, you'll go blind. And that's it.
That's really funny. Tim, do you have a Gaetano check-in or not?
We have one from 4 days ago, and oh, it's a doozy. So, Ryan Gordo says, I'm really disappointed with the portion sizes at this restaurant. They're extremely tiny. It's almost like they're trying to be sneaky with their takeout food using small lunchbox, and even smaller than usual rectangle one. Never coming back. No, no, no.
Fuck and you, Ryan.
Gaetano responds with, we're so sorry that our 17-inch cheesesteak with 1.5 pounds of meat wasn't big enough for you. We're also sorry that you had to take out because you couldn't fit in our booth and our industrial strength chairs couldn't support your mass to sit at a table. We're at a loss for the rest of the falsehoods, but we'll attribute that to your brain stroking out due to your blood being 50% gravy.
Oh, Gaetano doesn't miss. I've sent him over the questions.
Have we? I think we haven't had a response yet.
Not yet, but hopefully by this time next week we will do.
He is hoping. But for what it's worth, audience, he seems lovely by email.
Do you know what? I think if you're not a dickhead to his business, he's probably a lovely bloke.
Yeah, and do you know what? I got a lot of respect for that, actually.
I do too. I mean, I've got nothing but respect for Gaetano. He might be my hero.
Yeah.
Tim, last thing we've got is pub quiz question of the week.
Pub quiz question of the week. It is.
As a reminder, was it the most commonly bought breed of dog in 2023?
Correct, yeah. Any last guesses?
Nope.
Sorry, am I boring you?
No, sorry, I'm tired. It's up early this morning.
Ah, fair enough. It is the French Bulldog.
So when I said shitty little rat dog, I was right.
Yeah, but we need specifics.
Shitty little French rat.
There you go. Wee wee. With.
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 Tim, I didn't think we'd have much of an episode, but we've run longer than we did last week, so well done. Maybe I'll revise that when the edit comes out, because I might cut some stuff out.
Cut this out.
Do you want to do Discord shout-out?
Yeah, Discord shout-out of the week. Who is going to be our server member of the week? Joey, can I get a spinning wheel noise from you, please? It is going to be Footy Bones.
Hooray. Good for you, Footy Bones. Congratulations on winning absolutely nothing as a part of this.
You get a mention on a podcast.
Yeah, that'll go out to literally
tens.
Some people. Tim, anyone else you want to give a shout out to?
Jesus.
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 I'd like Satan. To shout out, just to make sure the sides are equal. I'd like to shout out the ever wonderful Josh Scar from Talking Smack.
Yeah.
He is a gem and a lovely man. And forget about it.
Forget about it.
I'd also like to shout out the also lovely Dan from Casting Views. Maybe have something on him in the coming weeks.
What do you mean?
Ooh, maybe. Who knows? Maybe. Ooh, I've gone very quiet. Oh. I need to move in close because I'm whispering.
This is intimate.
Yes. Tim, anything you want to say to the audience on the way out?
Take that, you bastards.
Take that, you bastards. We will see you in a week's time. Love you. Bye.